Jayam Shiva Dharman Shiva Chakra Chakra Shishma Bhaktiram Kasada Anarayati Jaya. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, Text Number 6, The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha. Na brahmana svarapeda matistavasya brahmana svarapeda matistavasya sarvatmana samadisha svasukha nupute sarvatmana samadisha svasukha nupute sansevatam suratarivate prasada sevatam Sivatarayivate kasa Sivanurupamutayo navipayayo pra Sivanurupamutayo navipayayo cha Chan? Na brahmana saparabe lamati savasya Sarvatmana sadisha sasukha nupute. Sansevatam suratarivate prasada. Sivanurupamudayo navipayayo pra. Na brahmana saparabe amadistavasya sarvatmana savadisha svasukha nupute Sarvatmana samadisha svasukha nupute Sansevatam suratarivate prasada Ladies. Yeah. Om Sevatam Suratara Vivate. Seva Nirupa Mudaya Navitaya Yocha. Na Brahmana Swarave Isasya. Sarva Mana Samadisha Saskara Bhutte. Sam Seva Tam Suratara Rivate Prasada. Ramana Saparabera Majista Sya Sampa Mana Samadisha Kanapute Sansevatam Surataroivate Prasada. Seva Rupa Mudaya Navipaya Yocha. Na, not Brahmana of the Absolute Truth. Sva of own. Para and others. Veda differential. Mati mentality. Tava of you. Syat, there can be. Sarva, of all beings. Atmanaha, of the soul. Sama, equal. Drishaha, who is vision. Sva, within himself. Sukha, of happiness. Anubhute, whose experience. Sansevatam, for those who properly worship. Surataro, of the heavenly desire tree. Eva, as if. Che, your. Pasarava, grace. Seva, with the service. Anurupam, in accordance. Udeha, desirable results. Na, not. Vipayaya, contradiction. Atra, in this. Translation. Within your mind, there can be no such differentiation as this one is mine and that is another's. Because you are the supreme absolute truth, the soul of all beings, always equipoised and enjoying transcendental happiness within yourself. Just like the heavenly desire tree, you bless all who properly worship you, granting their desired fruits in proportion to the service they render you. There is nothing wrong in this. Report. Shrishidhar Swami explains that a desire tree has no material attachments or partiality, but simply bestows its fruits upon those who deserve them and not upon others. Jiva Goswami Prabhupada adds that a desire tree does not think, this person is fit to worship me, but that other person is not. So that's contradictory, right? Rather, a desire tree is satisfied with all who properly serve it. And the Lord acts in the same way, as explained here by King Yudhisthira. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti adds that no one should accuse Lord Krishna of being envious of one person and showing favoritism toward another. Since the Lord is Swasukhanubhuti, experiencing his own happiness within himself, he has nothing to gain or lose in relation to conditioned souls. Rather, he reciprocates according to how they approach him. Srila Prabhupada very nicely sums up this point as follows in his rendering of King Yudhisthira's statement. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, His life becomes fulfilled both materially and spiritually. This does not mean that you are partial to the Krishna conscious person and indifferent to the non-Krishna conscious person. You are equal to everyone. That is your declaration. You cannot be partial to one and not interested in others. Because you're sitting in everyone's heart as super soul and giving everyone the respective results of his fruitive activities. You give every living entity the chance to enjoy this material world as he desires. As a super soul, you're sitting in the body along with a living entity, giving him the results of his own actions, as well as opportunities to turn toward your devotional service by developing Krishna consciousness. You openly declare that one should surrender unto you, giving up all other engagements, and that you will take charge of him, giving him relief from the reactions of all sins. You are like the desire tree and the heavenly planets, which awards benedictions according to one's desires. Everyone is free to achieve the highest perfection, but if one does not so desire, then your awarding of lesser benedictions is not due to partiality. Mukam karoti vachalam mangam langate kirim yakipantanam bande sigurum chitakarna. Om agana timirandasya gananjara shalakaya chakshimiritam yena tasamai shiyavirinam. So just now when I was reading the Sanskrit, two words struck me. And one was in the end of the third line, and that is prasada. Prasada means mercy. And in my seminar is on mercy as well. So this class will also be on mercy, mercy of the Lord. And sevanarupam, and that is how the mercy is qualified. I mean, it's equally openly distributed, but at the same time, if you're open to it by performing devotional service, sevanarupam, then you'll get the mercy. And if you're closed, then you won't. But Krishna loves everyone. So if you love Krishna, he'll give himself to you. If you don't want to love Krishna, you don't have to. He won't force you. He can't force love. But still, he will never leave you. So that's what this purport says. And so we're going to talk about the super soul a little bit in the beginning and how Krishna comes also externally in two different ways, as the holy name and as the deity. And then we'll talk about the desire tree and how Krishna is like a desire tree and he's not partial. And that's according to Bhagavad Gita. And then the last part will be how the devotee desires something and Krishna fulfills the desire of the devotee. So first about super soul. Here it says, yes, he's giving facility to enjoy. Here it says, he's giving everyone the fruits and giving the facility to enjoy. He's sitting in the heart. Prabhupada says, gives a wonderful analogy about the master taking his dog for a walk. And I was in Jacksonville Beach for the last weekend. And in the morning, they have a rule. In morning and before 9 and after 5, you can take your dogs for a walk on the beach and not between 9 and 5. So I was up walking and chanting before 9, and I saw many dogs. And the masters were taking them, and they had to be on the leash. That was the law. We are like the dogs of Krishna. The dog can do whatever he wants. I saw, okay, you can stop, you can pass, you can jump in the water if you like, you can pass urine and stool, and I'll wait for you. But then he pulls on the leash, okay, time to go home now. He doesn't have that full freedom. So just like the master gives the facility to the dog, so Krishna is so affectionate to us that we've come to enjoy this world, and he's giving us facility. We can run, we can dance, we can play, we can pass stool and urine. And he's just waiting for us to turn to him. He's so kind. But his desire is for us is that we turn to him. As Prabhupada says, he's asking every one of us, patram pushpam phalam toyam, give me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, and water. He's self-sufficient, as it says here in this verse. He's happy. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to be happy as well. And therefore, he comes here and he tries to reestablish our relationship with him. He calls us in Bhagavad Gita. He's calling us. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Just surrender to me. And I'll protect you. You'll be happy. He's calling us. Please come. Please surrender. Please give yourself to me, and I will take care of you. So we need to make a relationship with Krishna. We have a relationship, but we've broken it. We need to reestablish it. Prabhupada encourages us that according to Nectar of Instruction, there are 6 loving exchanges between devotees. And we can have those same 6 loving exchanges with Krishna. And we can exchange fruits, flowers, gifts with Krishna. We can give our mind to him. We can reveal our mind to him. And he's always with us, just waiting. Very, very kind. So Prabhupada said in one lecture that Krishna has come in this temple just to accept our offerings, so that we can go back to Godhead. If we offer something to Radha Shyam, to Krishna Balaram, to Gornitai, and that's the step back to Godhead. Everything we give to Krishna, every mantra we chant, every obeisance we give, every mouthful of prasadam we eat is getting put into our spiritual bank account. And the more we feed our soul, and the more our balance will accumulate until we can purchase Krishna. And so Krishna comes, he's so kind, he's coming as Krishna, he's coming as a deity. There's a very nice verse in Bhagavatam, Canto 6, chapter 16, verse 51, where it explains how Krishna is coming to us in 2 different ways to try and get us back to Godhead. So the Sanskrit words are Param Brahma and Param Dhamma. That's up in the Sanskrit, yes. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Well, Param Dhamma is not there, but anyway, Srila Prabhupada has it there. Oh, Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. That's it. Okay. Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Shabda Brahma means the holy name, and Param Brahma means the deity. So the verse reads, all living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions, are separate from me. I am the supersoul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of transcendental vibration like Omkara and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And I am the supreme absolute truth. These 2 forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So we're very fortunate today. We had the holy name appeared already, and now and the deity is there always with us. And we have the deity of our heart as well. So he comes as the holy name, he comes as the deity. And if we're attentive of hearing the holy name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he will enter our heart and he will clean our heart. As 2nd Canto 284, the verse says, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. And then go to verse 5, next verse. Sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, Supreme Soul, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits under the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. So this is how the mercy is coming to us. Mercy is coming, deity, Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy name, Shabda Brahma, and Param Brahma. So now I'd like to talk about how the mercy is coming from Krishna as he appears like a desire tree. According to this verse, Krishna is a desire tree. You can go to Gita, chapter 9, verse 29 of Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 9, verse 29. And this will be an explanation of the purport here about how he's partial and impartial at the same time. So Gita says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Stina Priya. Chapter 9, verse 29 of Bhagavad Gita. Yeva janti tumam bhakya mayi te teshu chap yaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. 9:29. Anyway, you probably know it anyway. But Whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So this is nine. He says, I'm not envious. And, you know, why do some people suffer? Because that's their choice. They buy the ticket for mode of ignorance, and mode of ignorance brings suffering. That's the verse. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. So I think here it says they should not accuse Krishna of being partial to anyone or favoritism to his devotee. The purport Prabhupada says that he's just like a cloud which pours rain upon all. Yeah, that's the question. Why does he take special interest in the devotees? But later on in the purport, it says he's like a cloud that pours rain. We see the clouds coming over the ocean. The ocean has enough water, but it's pouring water. And the clouds is pouring water on the rocks, and it's pouring water on the land and fertile soil. But for his devotees, he gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They're always in Krishna consciousness, always transcendentally situated in Krishna. So what determines how much mercy we will receive? This verse says, back to the text for today, some save it come according to our service. In proportion to our service, we get the mercy. Does that mean Krishna is seeing, okay, he's doing this much service, so I'm going to give him that much mercy? It's not like that. Just like the sun is shining now equally on the roof, on the trees, on the poor, on the rich, he's not partial. The sun rays are open for everyone, but if you go in the closet and close the door, close all the windows, you're not going to get it. And so some people, they don't want to hear about God. It's a dark age of Kali. It's very dark. There's so many problems. But the problem is not that God is not here, but that people don't want to see him. They close their eyes. They close their ears. They go in the closet. So again, in one purport, you don't need to find it, in Queen Kunti's prayers, talks about who gets the mercy. Does a suffering man, if he's pious, he prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, the suffering man doesn't want to see the Lord anymore. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. So we may ask ourselves the question, am I reluctant to receive the mercy of the Lord? Like yesterday in class, we had the question about the Lord Hari. You know, it's kind of scary that if he takes away everything, Hari means he who takes away. But actually, Prabhupada's translation is, he takes away our suffering. He takes away our misery. That is Hari. So don't be afraid when he takes away your misery. So the Pandavas, Yudhisthira, they were open. They were devotees. So in Krishna book, because they were open, they got the empowerment from the Lord. He empowered them, Prabhupada says, to execute his mission of protecting his faithful devotees and annihilating the miscreants. And Prabhupada talks about the Vishnu form, four hands. Two hands have the conch shell and lotus, and other two hands, the club and disc. So the club and disc are for the demons, and the conch shell and lotus flower are for the devotees. And the result is the same. If you get hit by the club or if you get benedicted by the conch shell, the result is the same. You get purified either way. We want to take the easy path, of course, with the lotus flower and the conch shell. So that's why we chant our rounds and hope for the best. But sometimes the thunderbolt comes too. So then we have to take it as mercy. If we take it as mercy, it's mercy. And if we take it as something else, we start blaming people, then we're in the modes again. And so Prabhupada says that by bugling with the conch shell and offering blessings with the lotus flower, he always assures devotees no one can vanquish them, even in the greatest calamity. So the next point is how Krishna fulfills the devotee's desires. So you can go to Canto 3, Chapter 9, Verse 11. We'll read that verse, and that was one of our verses last night. So it's very important to understand the mercy of the Lord, how he fulfills the desires of the devotees, and how that's how he says desire tree for the devotees too. Oh my Lord, your devotees conceived through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, 3, 9, 11, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees, you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So in the purport, like a few lines down, the Lord becomes subordinate to desire of devotee, so much so he manifests his particular form as the devotee commands. But then again, it's according to his transcendental loving service. You can mold the Lord if you engage in service with love. And later on in the purport, it talks about prema. This is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. Sometimes devotees want to go all the way to prema without going through Vrindavan. We see that a lot. They don't want to go through the process, step-by-step process. They want to jump to the top. That's prema, yeah. So this is unfaith. One associates with bona fide devotees by association when it gets engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation, execution of the primary devotional duties. This is the shutekshika path, hearing from bona fide devotees. And we become clean. So Krishna wanted to fulfill the desire of Yudhisthira. In this case, Krishna will fulfill Yudhisthira's desires to do the Rajasi sacrifice. And even after the great battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna will satisfy Yudhisthira. He had some more desires after the battle of Kurukshetra. He was not happy, Yudhisthira, after all everyone was killed. He really couldn't take up the throne. And he saw also that Krishna was leaving him. You know, Krishna was with him through all the difficulties. And now he's going to Dwarka. So Yudhisthira requested Krishna, please stay here a few days more. And his request was immediately accepted because of love. That means the power of Yudhisthira was love, and Krishna cannot deny if you have love for him. And he's conquered only by love. In fact, that goes for everyone. If somebody really loves us, if we're a genuine person, then we will be conquered by that love. Although Krishna is fully independent, if his devotee loves you, then he has to change his plans. He could have refused, no, I'm sorry, I'm God, you know, I have to go to Dwarka. After all, you know, you're my devotee servant. No. If you listen to Yudhisthira, you said, okay, yes, I will listen. Prabhupada also sometimes he would ask our opinions about things. He would listen to us. Of course, when it came to preaching, then he wouldn't listen. One time he was in Calcutta, 1973, very, very sick. And I was the pujari, I was doing Mangalarti. And I noticed the picture of Lord Nrisimhadev was off the altar, someone had disappeared. I thought, oh my God, who took the picture? And then Sasrut Maharaj said, okay, now don't blow the conch shell. We don't want to wake up Prabhupada, he's very, very sick. And so the whole night he had been sick with dysentery and fever, and so that was in Calcutta. And then he was thinking, okay, where should I go next? And the devotees were saying, go to Hawaii, recover. But then he got a telegram from Shamasunda from London. We have Rath Yatra, and this one's coming, and that one's coming, and we have a helicopter, and we're going to shut, you know, all this huge thing. And so Prabhupada said, no, I will go for Rath Yatra. In London. Very big Rath Yatra. And Srila Kirti was telling how, you know, he saw Prabhupada in the bed, very, very sick. And for the Rath Yatra, you know, he had a place for him to sit on the cart. But he rejected that, and he danced the whole Rath Yatra. And Srila Kirti was right behind him, waiting to catch him if he was going to collapse, you know. He was just waiting right behind. The police tried to stop him. They told Srila Kirti, you know, your leader is creating havoc here. And he tried to tell Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just ignored them. And finally, they had to bow to the desires of the pure devotee, the police of London, because he was so happy because, you know, the British had conquered India. Now he was conquering Britain, you know, London, with his Rath Yatra. And he had the Britishers dancing in the Rath Yatra. He had the Londoners. So, you know, that was Prabhupada's, you know, conquest, and he was very happy. So Krishna is the order giver, but he accepts the order of the devotee. And so when in the beginning of the battle, Arjuna ordered Krishna to drive my chariot, Achyuta. I mean, he felt a little bad because, you know, he knew Krishna is God. But then he said Achyuta means you never fail in your affection for your devotee. So that's why I'm asking you to do this for me. Please drive my chariot. And you're my friend as well. So, of course, when he saw the universal form, then he forgot everything. But, yes, Krishna said, okay, I'll drive. I'll drive the chariot. And it's a very low position. It's still in India, the driver is not a great position to be, the driver of the car. But Krishna accepted that servitor position to his devotee. And so we can purchase Krishna by love, as it says in Brahma Samhita. Videsha Durlavam, Adurlavam Atma Bhakta. He's very, very difficult to attain. So Prabhupada explained, if you officially study the Vedic literature to find God, very difficult. So if you depend on your personal study, speculation, personal knowledge to understand, then Krishna is Durlava. But if you have some devotion, some love, Krishna is Adurlava. It's very easy. Prayosha Jita Jito Pyasi, it says also in 10th canto, 14th chapter, that no one can conquer him. He's God. No one can order him. No one's greater than Krishna. No one's equal to him. No one's more powerful. So his name is Ajita. But Yudhisthira conquered Krishna. And so this is more important than the whole battlefield, this love between the Pandavas and Krishna. Yashoda conquered Krishna. In Damodar Leela, Krishna was afraid of his mother. So she controlled him by love. And Krishna likes that. He likes to be controlled by love. He likes to be ordered by his devotees. I live in Vrindavan, so I see that sometimes even our devotees have this feeling. One of devotee who's been living there for years, she came to the temple and she started yelling at the deity. She said, "Oh, what's she doing?" And she said to the deities, "You know, you knew I was coming here to see you. Why did you send the rain? Now look at me, I'm soaking wet." So in Jagannath Puri, the same thing. My god sister Radha Kund was out distributing books, and she wasn't doing very well at all. So one of the Orya people, Orya Vasis, who worshipped Jagannath, came to her and said, "You have to yell at Jagannath and tell him to help you. Why isn't he helping you?" She said, "I can't do that. He's my lord. I can't yell at him." So then the Orya guy went over to Jagannath and said, "Listen, she's been out here the whole day trying to distribute your books. Now you better help her." And then it got better. She started. Well, some people have this relationship with the Lord, and he likes it. He likes it. We're not trained that way. To shout at Krishna, if it's an offense to the deities. But some devotees do that, who are in a different relationship. So Srila Prabhupada, he had desires. He was sitting on the park bench when he first went to America, and the conductor was talking to him. And Prabhupada was saying, "There's many temples, and there's many restaurants, there's many gurukuls, and there's many things. And there's a whole movement around the world, how to make temples. Only time is separating them." So he had that desire even when he first came to America, and Krishna had to fulfill it. Prabhupada desired, and ISKCON manifested. And his poem, when he first entered Boston Harbor, we're celebrating it next month. I'll just read two of the verses. The first one that I'll read: "All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. Therefore, if you lie by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion." So here he's talking nicely. Krishna, you can do it. We can save everyone. Then the next prayer, he says, "I wish that you may deliver them." So that's it. Prabhupada wished, Prabhupada desired, therefore we're delivered. But then he let Krishna, "Okay, therefore if you so desire their deliverance, only will they be able to understand the message." But I mean, but the key word is "I wish." If the devotee wishes something, it must come true. Prabhupada desired that we be delivered. That's why we're here today. All of us, every one of us is here because Prabhupada desired it. He desired us to be delivered. So Krishna has to fulfill his desire. And there was another, I talked to one devotee who was at the original Rath Yatra, the first Rath Yatra in ISKCON, I think in San Francisco it was, on a flatbed truck. And they had the procession and Prabhupada, or perhaps it was the bigger one. It was one of the Rath Yatras, one of the first ones in San Francisco. And at the end, Prabhupada was sitting, and there was a whole bunch of hippies that had helped with the Rath Yatra. And he looked at everyone,
And he said, each and every one of you will go back to Godhead in this life by helping with this Rath Yatra. And the devotees were looking at the hippies and thinking, oh my God, how is Krishna going to do this? As a devotee desires, then it has to happen, you know. So, yeah, Prabhupada made many statements like that to us. Many letters. He says, you will go back to Godhead in this life. I know in Calcutta, it was Toshalya and Palika who were going up to make life members. And Prabhupada said that, yes, because of this, you will go back to Godhead in this life. So, there is a purport in 10th canto, one of the last purports, 10, 13, 50, the end of the purport that Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, there is a place where there is no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple, and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. The Prabhupada desired that Raman Reti was manifest, and so many deities came here. And in Los Angeles, it was Prabhupada's desire. Boston, New York, it was the press, BBT, it was all Prabhupada's desire. So therefore, Krishna had to fulfill it. So it was what was once an empty Alachua, now we have the deities in the temple, and so many devotees, I don't know how many, but quite a few. What was an empty world, once an empty world, is now full of temples and devotees and Harinam festivals. So we offer our basis to Srila Prabhupada, and we're very grateful for him that he has given us these wonderful gifts and this mercy coming through Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Yes, thank you. Microphone, please.
In Anna Palat's presence.
In the what? Seventh?
7-9.
7-9, okay.
I can't remember the verse. It's in the teens.
Sevana Rupa.
It's almost like Shloka.
Wow.
But somehow you didn't say it. But just Sevana Rupa, same word.
Sevana Rupa, wow.
Last two lines is almost identical.
Really? I didn't notice that. Thanks for telling me.
Prabhupada lectured on it as well.
Wow.
And he was very in 76 in my opinion.
Wow.
He said some interesting things. Maybe you could find it if you're into it.
7-9. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thank you for that help. Okay, another question or comment? Over here, and then we'll move that side. Yes, here on this side at the end. And then we'll move over that side.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very nice class. Yesterday you were mentioning, and maybe I heard it wrong, that the devotee's desire, Krishna fulfills the devotee's desire, even as far as his form in the devotee's life.
Right.
And you were talking about the super soul, the devotee.
Right.
Krishna will appear in whatever form the devotee desires, even within his heart. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, well, that was, we actually read that verse today, that during our Krishna consciousness, we worship a form of the Lord that becomes, become attached to that form. Like, it may be Radha Govinda, it may be Krishna Balaram, it may be Gaur Nitai, it may be Jagannath. And as we worship that form, we become attached to it. So the verse says that whatever form we become attached to, that form will manifest in our heart. So this Bhagavad Gita verse is the same thing. He's neutral for the non-devotees. Even for the yogis, he will appear as four-handed Vishnu. That's their meditation. Prajuna Aniruta, Aniruta form. But for the devotees, the super soul is different. It's not the neutral observer, witnesser, but it's the friend. As Gita says, Krishna says, I become the friend. So that means the deity who we are attached to, who has become our friend in our times of distress, even Nisringadev, Radha Govinda, Radha Shamasundar, that becomes our super soul. Krishna comes in that form for us. And that's what that verse explains. And the devotees ask the question, and in Gita, it's the seed is there. You can see it in the Gita verse, that you know there are two different forms of super soul right in that verse. At least two different moods are there. So then he says, I come as your friend. I'm the friend. So for the devotee, when he thinks, generally he thinks of, when he's in trouble, he thinks of the deities that he's attached to. or in good times also, when he's trying to meditate. He's meditating on the deities he's attached to. So in good, in happiness and distress, we meditate on Gauranga, Nitai, or on Radha Krishna. And that is, for us, that's our super soul. Because the other super soul, he goes according to the laws of nature, the Vishnu form. But the Krishna, Radha Krishna, they're above the laws of nature. Now, once you surrender, Krishna says, I will protect you from that. So that's Krishna. Krishna says that, not as Vishnu, but as Govinda. Govinda speaks Bhagavad Gita. So that then as we come to Krishna consciousness, we become attached to different forms of the deities. And then they will manifest in our mind, in our heart, as super soul. They will help us in our devotional service, and we think of them. Right? Prabhupada, he encouraged that in different ways. First, he said that when we see the deities in the morning, we should meditate on them during the day as well. All during the day, that should be our meditation. And then another time, he said we should make a golden throne in our heart and seek the Lord there and offer him worship. A diamond throne. He said, make a diamond throne in your heart. Bring Ganga water. Worship the Lord like that. So he does encourage us to meditate on these forms of the Lord that he's given us. There is a purport actually on the either 1865 where it says, always think of me, become my devotee. He says, so we are asking you to, I'll see if I can read the purport. He says, so we are worshiping the Shama Sundar form of the Lord with two hands and playing the flute. See if I can find that purport. Did they do this here? 65. One should always act in such a way, all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way, throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, but he'll be engaged in association of Krishna face to face. These words stress, one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in Brahma Samhita and other literature. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms like Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc., but a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. So that's the form that we should think of in our heart as well. We don't change forms when we go to the heart. The heart is the mind. The mind, man, mana, think of me. So as it's said in the Vedic, man is in the heart also. So mind is a subtle body, but we have also our spiritual intelligence and spiritual mind. As described in Gita 6.5, that the mind is the friend, the enemy. When our mind is our friend, that's our spiritual mind and intelligence. When it's our enemy, it's the polluted mind and intelligence. Okay? Yes, we have a question. Yeah, he's coming. Raise your hand so he knows who to give it to.
Mataji, so you had said you were talking about the devotees in Vrindavan who yell at the deities.
I only saw one, not everybody.
Okay, sure. No, but I'm just also...
Don't imitate.
Right. So I'm wondering whether Krishna understands and accepts or receives the mental thoughts that a devotee... Because sometimes
yes.
I think the devotees are... sometimes they're... the gopis are kind of contrary, I think was the word.
Yeah, the gopis were contrary, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Some sort of contrary. So I'm wondering if people have thoughts of that nature. Krishna, you're saying is will receive?
So your question is if you have contrary thoughts to Krishna, then what?
No, I'm wondering whether Krishna is knowing the mood that the devotee, I guess that's probably an obvious question.
So even if you're angry with Krishna, you don't really mean it.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, he knows everything. So, okay. Yeah, okay. He was. Yeah, actually, at one time, one devotee said she got, you know, she got, again, it was like a, I think she was, they took her off the deity worship. She was very angry with the devotees. I said, better you be angry with Krishna. And she said, oh, that's really hard. She said, but I'll do it. I'll be angry with Krishna. And she, so the way she expressed her anger was, Krishna, do something. And then a few minutes later, one devotee came up to her with her Radha Krishna deities and said, can you please take care of my deities for me? I can't do it. So, yeah, if you're angry, be angry with Krishna better. But then don't be angry with the devotees, because then you can do Vaishnava Parada. The devotees are in the heart of Krishna. So if you're angry with devotees, then it's painful to his heart. Yeah. There's somebody over there.
Thank you very much for that. Even if we imitate, Krishna might choose not to listen. When I was going through cancer. I was diagnosed with cancer. I went through different stages, but then Bhakti Swarup Maharaj left his body, and also Bhakti Pitta Maharaj left his body. So I got really upset because I wasn't leaving my body.
No.
So I didn't yell at the deity or anything, but in my heart I was thinking, yes, of course, Krishna, you're taking your best soldiers. Why will you take me, right? So I was really upset because, you know, I was not dying. I was just suffering.
Right, right.
So, of course, Krishna didn't listen because I've been here for almost 8 years now. So I'm still chanting.
Okay. Yeah, well, he will reciprocate in different ways. He wants you to do more for him. That's why he brings us back. I had near death also. I could have left in 2004, and I was upset too, because I was in the void. I mean, they gave me overdose of anesthesia, but I was conscious, and everything was black. And then I had no memory, no identity, nothing. And then I saw the holy name coming in multicolor in front of me. Didn't know what it was, because I had no intelligence or nothing. But out of habit, I started chanting. And then I started chanting, my identity and my memory came back. I said, okay, yeah, I'm Narayani Dasi. Looks like I left my body. How come I didn't go back to Godhead? How come I'm in the void? And I was upset. I was angry, too. What am I doing in the void? But anyway, that's what anesthesia does to you. Makes you go somewhere else. But then, yeah, I was a bit upset. But then my whole consciousness changed. I had been a very negative to the world, very averse to being in this world. I just wanted to get out. But then after that, I realized, you know, getting away from it all isn't the solution, because I got away from it all in the void. So better, I'm grateful for what I have and use it in Krishna's service. So it was quite a good thing that happened. You need to find the good in what happened to you and accept the mercy of the Lord. That he wants you to do something more for him while you're here. So let's do it. Let me do something for him. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.